call this meeting of the House Health and Social Service Committee to order. It is 3:05 p.m. on March the 21st of 2013. Present are Representative Seaton, Representative Pruitt, and Representative Reinbold, Representative Tarr, and Representative Keller, and myself, Representative Higgins. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum. I would like to recognize our staff today, which we have Butch Carver as our recording secretary, and our LIO moderator is, what do we got over there? Claire. We have Claire. Good. Paul Verhagen is my committee aide. So if anybody needs anything, raise your hand. He'll come and say hi to you and see if we can't accommodate you. A little bit of housekeeping, if we can keep our cell phones off, don't ring, it kind of interrupts the presentation and people on the committee. And then I've always promised them donuts if someone has their phone that rings, and I have yet to be able to deliver on that, so if they are going to ring, we're going to find you. We want our donuts. So with that said, today we have one presentation today. Our presenter will be Mike Navarro, mayor of the Kenai Peninsula Borough and a former state legislator here in Juneau from 1985 to 1996. I had a great conversation with Mike earlier this morning. He says the place has not changed since 1986. So, the Kenai Peninsula Borough owns two hospitals, and Mayor Navarro will share the borough's perspective regarding Medicaid expansion. And we are at the table now, so please present your name and your affiliation and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I appreciate the opportunity to present to you today on Medicaid expansion and also health care generally.
Yeah, pull the mics in towards you a little bit more. There you go.
And health care generally. I'm Mike Navarro, mayor of the Kenai Peninsula Borough. We own and operate two hospitals, and we'll see benefits from Medicaid expansion, and I'll talk about that a little later in my presentation. I'm here today because up until a year and a half ago, I characterized myself as a recovering politician. I spent 12 years in the Alaska legislature and three as Kenai Borough mayor from 1985 until 96, and I lost the bid for re-election in 99 and went back in the private sector and actually enjoyed my time in the private sector. Really, the catalyst for getting back into politics was the whole healthcare issue. I actually grew up Catholic, and I felt a little guilty about not having done more when this problem was manifesting itself years ago. And so that ended up with me getting back in politics, my election as mayor in the fall of 2011, and it's how I ended up here today. So I'm going to quickly run through some slides, and we'll be happy to answer questions either during or after the presentation. These slides have been borrowed from both the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium and the Alaska Hospital and Nursing Homes Association. They're their slides, but my narrative, and they don't know what I'm going to say, so I'll apologize in advance. I also want to recognize and thank Commissioner Struer and Governor Parnell. I met with the commissioner yesterday, had a great discussion, met with the governor for a few moments today, and advocated my position, but recognize that there's a great deal of data that still needs to be gathered.
Mayor, let me interrupt her real quick. Representative Justin, do you want to come up and sit with us, if you'd like?
Thank you.
I believe Representative Nagyak is not going to be with us today. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. I recognize there's a great deal of data and analysis that still needs to be done, and I think that at the end of the day, I'm optimistic that they'll come to the conclusion that it makes good sense, but understand that there is a process, and I think they're doing their due diligence, and a deliberative process is warranted. So I'm going to start with this is a slide that just shows that states have the option to choose to participate. It establishes a Medicaid eligibility category that goes to 138% of the federal poverty level. Interestingly enough, in Alaska, it probably should go to more like 200% because costs of health care in Alaska are more than twice as much as other states around the country. That's just a little anecdote.
It will now include all adults under 138% of poverty, provides a higher federal matching rate for the expansion group, and establishes modified adjusted gross income as a means for determining those. This just shows the match rate under the eligibility for the new eligibility group, and it because the Alaska Natives and American Indians served by tribal health organizations get 100% under the federal for the federal share. It shows that over time, a seven-year average of about 96.6% is what the match rate would be. Given that this is a promise from the federal government, I think there's good reason to be skeptical of it. When I chaired the Finance Committee, one of the things that I did was look back 10 years to see what was driving the budget. And a portion of what was driving the budget in health and social services was that Medicaid in Alaska expanded as promised from the federal government initially at 90%. And as their budget constraints grew and the program expenses grew, the state ended up picking up more and more of that to where our rate now is 50% for match. But let's assume that they stick with their matching rate for now, because if they do, it makes really good sense from an economic standpoint and impacts to Alaska to go forward with Medicaid expansion. This chart just shows federal spending and the growth over time of the enrollment and the share that the state share would be $91 million with about $1.1 billion in federal dollars, and a 12-to-1 ratio, federal dollars to state dollars, and makes good sense. This is the same information, really, just in graph form. This slide shows potential budget offsets, and this is something that our estimates only. I know that the commissioner and the other departments are going to work to try to identify exactly what those offsets would be to determine how much you can actually save. Or already are paying that would be covered by expanding Medicaid. And I think that one of the good examples is the Department of Corrections. We know that there would be significant offsets in the Department of Corrections, and that information, I think, will prove that to be the case. This just shows the net impact on the state budget if you get some of the potential offsets. And it could be more or less than this, but if you assume that the projected offsets of $55 million are actually $67 million are out there, the cost to the state would only be $23.3 million over through 2020. Cumulative, and it actually shows that there would be a net savings to the state by implementing it over the first several years. This one just shows return on invested dollars under both scenarios, with state funds being the small share at the bottom, and it really reflects that there would be significant investment of federal dollars in healthcare in Alaska, and I think that I think that makes sense if we can get the dollars. The next three slides are just showing the accumulated economic impacts through 2020. This slide just shows potential job growth as a result of the investment of $1 billion+ in expansion of Medicaid. This one shows increased wages of over almost $1.4 billion over that period of time. And this slide shows that there's regional impact because healthcare is delivered throughout Alaska, and so all areas would be impacted and see benefits from it.
Mayor, Representative Seaton.
Can we go back one slide to one more? Low participation, mid participation, high participation. If we're covering 138%, what are the participations?
Well, depending on the enrollment is estimated. So at the highest level of participation and available people enrolling into the Medicaid expansion, that's where the high number comes from. And it's a cumulative over that period of time. That is a cumulative number over the next 6-7 years.
Go ahead.
So I guess I'm trying to figure out. So the even if it covers up to 138%, you're saying some people might not apply, so that they would still be in charity care position even if they were eligible for Medicaid?
No, I think that they would apply. It really reflects that some people who are eligible for assistance either don't apply or aren't enrolled in the programs. Currently, you know, if they go to local hospital and they're eligible, we have that situation now where people show up at the hospital who are eligible but just haven't enrolled. They show up when they need to. So it wouldn't be everybody eligible enrolling at one time.
I had I don't off the top of my head don't remember which state it was, but they're looking into enrolling everybody into Medicaid expansion from their Medicaid recipients, which is a novel idea.
You know, the summary, which just shows coverage for an additional up to 40,000 uninsured Alaskans, $1.1 billion in new federal spending over the next 7 years, 4,000 potential new jobs, $1.2 billion more in salaries and wages paid to Alaskans, overall $2.4 billion in increased economic activity as a result of that, and state spending for $90 million in state spending without offsets, and $24 million or $23.6 million with the offsets. And again, that number could be higher or lower, the offset number. And really, I think the impacts would be a little bit different, because the reality is that some of these people are already being covered. They're being covered through bad debt or discounts, charity care, and so I think that, what is cost shifting to other, which ends up manifesting itself as cost shifting to other people, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. So I think that we would see the investment of the dollars in Alaska, but I don't know that we would see all of these impacts. I think what we'd see in some cases is simply a different fund source than what's being used now to fund some of these services that are being provided. This one is just a graphic of who's paying the bills now for hospitals. And as you can see, Medicaid and Medicare pick up a big share in Alaska of hospital care, commercial, which includes the state insurance program, local government insurance programs, and commercial insurers is another big piece, and self-pay and workers' comp is the final pieces. This slide is just to show uncompensated care in Alaska in 2011 was $217 million and underpayments of $200 million. And I'm going to have another slide that better shows that, I hope.
Mayor, hold on. Representative Reinbold, do you have a question?
And I'm willing to wait until the end if you want me to.
Well, do you want to take questions as we go, or?
You know, I only have about 6 more slides, but I'm happy to take them anytime.
Okay, I'll wait.
Okay, and this is a complicated slide that the uncompensated care rolls into, and it's an attempt to show what's been the reality for a long, long time in healthcare, and that is cost shifting that takes place. While they're not really accurately represented, this is not my slide, but it does show Medicare underpayments, Medicaid underpayments, other government payments, but that final box is the uncompensated or a charity and bad debt that is zero. And what it's attempting to show is that shift then goes from those uncompensated or uncovered amounts over to private payers, and it ends up manifesting itself as an increase in premiums for private payers and really a cost shift. And we know cost shifting has been taking place for a long time, but the reality is it's worse than this, because what we're starting to see now is a shift back the other way, and that is that for hospitals, the private payers are saying, you know, we want a discount. We're going to bring our group there. We want a discount. We're seeing that from in-state plans, local government plans, and private payers. I had a discussion with a representative from the Teamsters who said, yeah, we're looking at sending our people out of state because it's too expensive to get certain procedures in Alaska. That is a scary thing if we don't get that piece fixed in terms of the cost of healthcare in Alaska. And this slide just tries to show what the estimates are of those cost shifting impacts. Premiums in Alaska by $257 per insured person for 2009, and because of underpayment, increased insurance premiums by $628, a combined total of nearly $1,000 into the shifting into private plans. The next two slides actually gets me to why I'm here today as mayor of the Kenai Peninsula Borough. We own two hospitals. We have seen a growth in charity care and bad debt, which is represented on this slide for Central Peninsula Hospital. And that's for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's simply economic issues. Others reasons are that healthcare continues to increase at an unsustainable rate beyond the level of what cost of living is. And the result of that is that the higher the bills, the more that the people who can't pay, already can't pay, they can't pay the higher amount either. It ends up, as we're seeing, increased costs in charity and bad debt, charity care and bad debt.
Mayor, explain to the committee what bad debt is.
Okay, charity care is actually when there's an application, an application process that they go through in order to get a portion of their debt relieved. Bad debt is just simply when either they can't pay or don't pay, are unable to pay bills that aren't collected by the hospital. It is significant, and I actually have a representative from the hospital who is here today who could probably better answer that from Central Peninsula Hospital if you would like. He actually put this slide together for me. I put this slide together, but he helped me manipulate it. This is for South Peninsula Hospital, which is Representative Seaton's district. And what you see there, again, is it's a smaller hospital, less revenue, so the amount of charity care and debt is a little lower. But the important thing is that we're seeing an increase in the cost of that. Under Medicaid expansion, this would be the number of additional potential enrollees that would be eligible within the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Is 8% of that, of the 8.1% of eligible now, of the new potential 40,000, our estimated additional would be about a little over 3,200. This slide actually is shows the unanticipated impact of the Supreme Court's decision changing expansion from mandatory to optional. And what it's left is without the expansion, there will actually be a gap in coverage for some residents in Alaska, and that's represented by those red areas. And the only important piece of that is that the Affordable Care Act was designed to try to cover the lower income folks. The gap will not allow that because they won't be eligible for the exchange. This is going to be fixed. We know it's going to end up being fixed. We don't know how. Likely a mandate. That's my guess, but your guess and my opinion. That's it for my presentation. I want to thank you. My read is that the Medicaid expansion makes sense for Alaska, but I also understand the concerns about future impacts, especially with federal funding and promises of funding and whether or not we'll actually see that level of funding given the situation that our nation finds itself in. Reality is that the Affordable Care Act is only a part of the coming changes to our healthcare system. There will be many, many more. No one can accurately predict how those changes will evolve or what they'll be. But we know there's going to be change. I think we can all recognize that our current healthcare system is overly complicated, inefficient, overutilized, and unsustainable, particularly in Alaska, where the costs are higher than other states, and we're seeing some attempts at trying to negotiate. And if we can't negotiate and get cheaper care, we'll end up sending people out of Alaska for that care. Once you do that, you change the economies of scale at our local hospitals and hospitals in Alaska, and the situation ends up being exacerbated in terms of what the remaining cost is. We desperately need a long-term plan for the future of healthcare in Alaska. It's something that I am fairly passionate about trying to find some solutions to. I clearly don't have the answers. I know that there is a lot of data and information out there. It's going to be an evolutionary process. We didn't get here overnight to this situation, but we won't find and we won't get to the changes to where we should be for a long period of time. ICER study showed that we probably spend in excess of $10 billion in Alaska on an annual basis on health care for Alaskans. If we had $10 billion and we were starting from scratch, there's no way that the system we have for delivering health care in Alaska would look anything like it, what it looks today. We can't change that. As I mentioned, we didn't get there overnight. But what we can do is kind of look forward well into the future, define a plan for how we get to where we should be from where we are now, that will provide lower cost health care and expanded service to residents of Alaska. Thank you.
Well, any questions? Go ahead. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back to slide 7. This is the first time I've seen this that shows anticipated net impact to be substantial cost savings over those first several years.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm just wondering if you have any idea of whether this is a similar situation in other states. And now, just looking at it, I know one of the concerns is uncertainty with the commitment by the federal government in the, going out. But I wonder if we couldn't, if there were early years of cost savings, if there's a way you can, sort of save that money to be used towards programmatic costs later, if anybody's doing something like that with the cost savings in the early years.
I would speculate that all the states are doing that a little bit differently. And could the state of Alaska? One, I think that what Commissioner Struer is working towards is getting additional data, exactly what those offsets might be, and then you can make decisions within the existing budget whether there's areas that can be reduced or saved for future years in order to provide a net savings over lifetime. But as I've said, this is the potential budget, some potential offsets. By no means is it meant to be complete. I think that there's a lot more information that needs to be gathered before you know what those will be and therefore what the impacts in the budget might be. But I think that you can clearly see that even at the full, without any offsets, at a 12-to-1 rate, if you get the federal money, and I recognize that is not a certainty, it's a good deal to have that kind of investment and economic benefit to Alaska.
Your data is interesting, to me. After doing not a lot of research, but learning that research and numbers, usually if you follow the money, you'll find out the data goes that route, to whoever paid for the data usually goes in their benefit. Now, with that said, I'll go ahead, Paul, and pass this other one out and give one to Mike also. I have another slide that was given to me here about a week ago from the Heritage Foundation that shows completely opposite of your data on page, I guess it would be page 6. Where it shows that after 2016, we looks like we're going to be spending more money than we're taking in from their data. And so, I don't mean to, I guess I did put you on the hot seat here, obviously, but you see these two numbers, and that's what confuses people all over. I mean, even at this committee, they're going to go, what the heck, what are we doing here now? One, the Heritage Foundation says if we do Medicaid expansion, it's going to cost us $109 million. Over the same period of time, you're saying we're going to save money. So how do we explain to our constituents these two different slides?
Well, it's sort of like what Harry Truman said. He wished you could find a one-armed economist, because economists always say, on the one hand, but on the other hand, this could happen. Reality is that there's a lot of data and a lot of numbers, depending on the context that you use, how you put them together. You can show
pretty much anything. I've not read the detail in either of these presentations of information. I think that the department, the commissioner, I think the data and the information is available. I think it's incumbent upon our state to get as good a data as you possibly can and all of the information. And I know what you go through here. You're inundated with information. It's difficult to sort through the good and the bad information and to focus in on what you're going to use in order to base what our public policy decision
right.
And whatever you do, somebody else will have other information that they'll use to refute it or you know, we saw some of that in the recent debate on Senate Bill 21.
Yeah, I, you know, through our conversation this morning, you know where I stand. You know, I think we need to tread lightly on this whole subject, and because it's new to everybody, and I don't, you know, my opinion is we don't jump in with both feet. We look at it closely and go from there, and hopefully we make some good choices. So, but that's my choice. Are there any other questions for the mayor? No?
I had one. No, I'm off the slide. It's the Ashna slide, which is, where is it? I don't see a number on it. Where it's Central Peninsula Hospital has uncompensated care, and then it has underpayment increased insurance premiums. What do you mean by underpayment?
Underpayment is that Medicare is an underpayment because the service that's the usual and customary, Medicare only pays a portion of that, so does Medicaid. And it results in a shift if you assume that the cost is what's being charged. And you know, one of the things I have a goal in the Kenai Peninsula of trying to figure out a model that we can use to try to determine what's really happening in healthcare, because it's impossible the way that billings are done now and discounts are done and cost shifting. It's very nearly impossible to determine where things are at. But it's too expensive. We all know that.
Representative Reinbold.
Thank you for your presentation. It is definitely a different angle than what I've been looking at. But a couple things that you said alarm me. One, that we spend $10 billion in excess in healthcare. I would definitely want you to expand on that. And then I also have a follow-up.
Okay, well, you know, the ICER did a study. Actually, did a study in 2005. I think it was updated in 2010 that showed a little over $7.5 billion in spending on health care in Alaska, and if you extrapolate from that a couple of years later, costs increasing, it's probably over $10 billion. And even if that's not what's spent in Alaska, it's what's spent on Alaskans, because it didn't identify in that study what was being spent outside of Alaska on health care, and that's a significant number also.
Through the chair.
Insurance,
does that include insurance premiums and that whole market as well?
Yes.
Okay. And then one final, what concerns me about Medicaid expansion, even though it's a feel-good thing to want to give health care to everybody, I mean, you know, it's one of those things. It's hard, because once you give something to someone, it's hard to take it back. I mean, it's really next to impossible. And even though it's a very important thing, healthcare. It really concerns me that the federal government wants to make promises when we're at a $16 trillion debt, and if it's about a $200 million, if I look at 2020, it's around, that's a lot for our little state, and I mean, it just put that over all the United States and all the expansion, it's unfathomable the amount of money that this is going to cost.
Absolutely. I share that concern. I actually think that expanding Medicaid expansion is the conservative approach, if you can believe that, because the healthcare system in the United States and the way that it's delivered is simply unsustainable. We deal with it, we're just in negotiations with our public and employee unions, and the biggest thing that we're negotiating is healthcare, because the increases in healthcare are causing, and the unfunded liability for Medicare is off the charts, because we expanded into that system years ago,
healthcare has run unabated increases in healthcare, not sustainable. Same thing's happening with our retirement system. Retirement system, one of the biggest items that they missed in the estimates and the calculations back when they were doing them is that healthcare wasn't anticipated to accelerate and increase at the rate it did. And so the result is that now we have more people on retirement, and their healthcare costs are a huge expense of that. So it's affecting every single aspect of our lives. And so I think that expanding it, you're right, it does cost more money, but it's a lower cost than what is being paid. So I think rolling them in it means that over time it averages out to lower reimbursement rates for health care and forces the issue.
Go ahead, follow up.
Speaking of that, you talked about all the different bargaining units and all that. I mean, is there an ability to do all the people together and bid that? It just seems like that would be a huge, huge cost savings.
Absolutely. It would be a huge savings to the public employee unions. Absolutely. And where does it go? We know in healthcare, when they're saving someplace, it gets shifted someplace else. Mm-hmm. I'm faced with that right now. We're negotiating with our hospitals for a discount rate for our public employees. But I know that when we get that discount rate for our public employees, it saves us money, saves our taxpayers money, but it goes somewhere else. Somebody else ends up paying more if someone else is paying less. That's what's been happening for so many years in healthcare.
But it's missing the point. It would save us a lot of money if all the people were able to bargain together.
Oh. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Are there any other questions of the committee? Mayor Navarro, we appreciate your time and your efforts. And I know this is a tough subject to come up. Is there, if there's no other questions, and you don't have anybody else you want to bring forward, then that concludes our committee meeting, which will probably be about the fastest committee meeting we've had.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. Our next House committee meeting will be at 3 p.m. on Tuesday, March 26th, and we will be discussing HB 53, consultation for opiate prescriptions. The time is now, what is that, 3:40, 3:36 p.m. This meeting is adjourned.